morning to the parents who have dedicated your children. I bless the Lord for you. You have desired well, and the Lord truly answers prayers. I saw that many of you, I was there when you didn't have those babies, and I trusted the Lord with you. We prayed for them, and now here they are. Amen? And talking about parents, I know Pastor Connery's parents are here. I can just wave. We acknowledge you. Wave your hand. I'm told they're in there. Yeah, they're right there. Mom and Dad, thank you so much. I have never forgotten that one Sunday you walked up to me holding Connery's hand and you said, "Huyu kijana nimekupatia." Now see what the Lord is doing. Thank you. You are great parents. Bishop and your wife, asante sana for your leadership of this church the last 20 years. You're truly a man who hears the Lord. And I've witnessed that throughout the years. Thank you so much. Our elders as well, Jonathan and Elder Kibadi. Asante sana. Now, when you picture a good parent, whose voices are you really hearing? Your own? Your parents? Or the culture's voice? Who or what is shaping your parenting now? The word, the world, or the algorithms? Parents, let me ask this question. What is your plan for raising godly children? This morning, our time is well spent, so I'll be brief. If you're writing notes, I have 4 points. I'll briefly mention the first three. The first one will shock you. And then we will spend time looking at the fourth one. And then we will conclude. Amen? Amen. Now, I begin with a humble confession that I'm not a parenting expert. And don't get me wrong, there is a time in my life when I was a parenting expert. You see, friends, when I was growing up, especially that period of my life when I was a teenager, I found myself convinced that my parents had no idea what they were doing. I remember enough times when I foolishly gave them my unsolicited advice on how especially they should parent me. Sometimes I would wonder aloud, who made you parents? Well, today, I live a life of daily repentance, especially from the day I became a parent myself. Now, this morning's message will be our typical sermon. Instead, I have four heartfelt reflections drawn from my own parenting journey, especially from moments of struggle and the moments that have been a challenge for me. I also I have taken time to reflect, especially on the culture that you and I have to parent today, unlike my parents. And so this morning, I want us to also seriously interrogate the culture that we find ourselves in and ask the question, what does it mean to be a God-called parent, a grace-driven parent in today's world? So allow me now to refer to all of you, my dear parents. And when I say parents, I know some of us, we became parents by way of biology, but then some of us here listening to me, and we became parents the day we chose to graciously adopt someone who is not our child, but we adopted them and we are parenting them. I also know this is Kenya and Africa, and I know there are many of us who are now parents, not to your own children, but because you again graciously took in maybe a niece or a nephew or a sibling, and you are parenting them. Just the same. So I want to address this message to all of us. If you're writing notes, again, like I said, I have 4 points. Number one will shock you, and then we'll spend time in number three, and then we'll conclude. Number one, parents, let's read our Bible. See, I told you. More and more now, this is becoming but a piece of one of those books that you read in your life. It's not being utilized. Oh, ask me, how do I know that? Many times I'm the pastor who gets shocked. Sometimes I sit down with some of us And then we say, let's look at the book of Genesis. And it amazes me, and it's even entertaining to see someone looking for the book of Genesis in the New Testament. Parents, let's read the Bible. You see, first, before we can do anything as parents, we must know where to look. God did not give us children and then vanish. He left us his word, the only sufficient manual. Our journey is impossible if we, as Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. We will do so poorly as parents. We must believe, as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for this very task. Number three, parenting is not who you are. Parenting is what you do. Simply put, parenting is not a title. That's the easy thing. Getting children is easy. Sometimes it's a matter of biology. But that's not what parenting is. Parenting is serious divine responsibility. Many of us, sometimes we become parents without having seriously considered what it takes to be parents. You see, with the manual in hand, we must accept that parenting is a serious responsibility. It's not just an identity, it is work. The Swahili had this saying that kuzaa mwana sio kazi, kazi ni? Yeah. Hence the Lea Mwana program, okay? Becoming a mother or a father is often the easy part. The true work begins after they arrive. This is our active calling, as per Ephesians 6:4, which calls us to nurture them in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. Number three, if you're writing points, it's simply this reminder that we don't make babies. Babies are given to us by God. This is built on that foundational truth that we find in the book of Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5, that children are clearly a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward from God himself. And now, friends, to my point number four, and for that, allow me to read our guiding text. I have two texts, one from the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4, and then I'll read another text from the New Testament so that we may dig into our last point, which is point number 4. Malachi 4 verse 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Verse 5, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the land with total destruction. And now to Luke in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 16. We read, he will bring back many people of Israel to their Lord. And he will also go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's God's word. Now, parents, point number four is that we have to rethink what I have called the myth of a perfect parent. Parents, most of us have our Bibles, yes, and sometimes we read, and we understand also that parenting is a serious responsibility. We know that our children are gifts from God, yes. However, parenting in a way that aligns with God's teaching can be significantly challenging for many of us, for you and me. My own parenting experience has taught me the importance of staying aware, staying alert to the culture that you and I are parenting in. I believe you share my perspective because in today's culture, we are constantly bombarded with the myth of the ideal parent. This myth often leads us to feel inadequate and pressure ourselves to meet unrealistic expectations. It's important to remember that parenting is not about being perfect. It's about being present and doing our best, striving to raise our children in a way that aligns with God's will. This is where I want us to spend time interrogating the times that we live in and what the culture is trying to tell us. The one thing I want you to take away with you today is this. There's no such a thing as an ideal parent. There's only real parents. Someone say amen. Amen. Sisi ndio tuko, tell your neighbor. We are the parents who are there, right? You see, the culture paints a picture of a perfect parent. The parent on the billboards and magazines and on the internet. Perfect parents, tall parents, tall father, shorter mother slightly, with kids smiling. You know, they have all their teeth and the parents have all their teeth and they're all white. They're not like you and me. Let me tell you, I don't have one tooth in my mouth. So I'm not like those parents. Their kids are ever smiling. You seen that picture? Kids ever smiling? Do your kids smile all the time? Are they smiling all the time? Parents, let's be honest here in poor Roho Kidogo. Sometimes they are annoyed with you, right? And what have you done for them to be annoyed with you? Sometimes you just woke up and you breathed, okay? And now they are very, very annoyed with you, true or not? So we will leave that perfect image. But maybe before we leave it, we know that this was me. The moment I held my own son, it didn't take long, like you and me, to realize the world was constantly trying to paint a picture of the ideal parent for me. And more often than not, you know, the vision left me feeling crushed by guilt. No matter my efforts, the standards set were impossibly high for me. And to the people who are bombarded with advice left, right, and center, you know, parenting gurus fill the bookstores claiming to possess the latest secrets on how to raise great children. The one thing, don't do anything else, the one thing that you must do. If you do this one thing, then your kids will turn out great. I suspect you are like me. You cannot keep up with the many parenting models now being thrown our way. I hear there is the helicopter model, you know, the one where some parents are almost now investing in a drone so that you can monitor your little precious angels, whatever they are, because the world is evil, right? Helicopter parenting, only to end up feeling so lost because you quickly realize you are not omnipresent. And sometimes you'll be away from them, right? And then they hear, there's this other one now, it's called sharenting. Share. This is where, as parents now, we continue to, the thing we are known for, and we are mistaking it for parenting, is taking photos of our little ones, taking photos and sharing them on all platforms, all social media handles, sharing, right? Sharenting. Parents, it's sad that we are now the generation that is spending more time sharing photos all over media. We are spending more time doing that than we are spending time with the real children. Then I hear there's gentle parenting. Gentle parenting. Have you heard that one? Have you tried it? They tell us gentle parenting, right? Oh, they will not tell you that. Some foolishness in a child can only come out by a cane, the Bible says, right? But you have to be so gentle to them, right? Someone told me that's the one that is responsible for bringing up the kababa and the kamama when they are all grown, right? Then there is the free-range parenting model that is about, you know, free-range, like kuku za kienyeji sasa, right? Let them just grow up. Who parented me? You know, me, I just grew up. You know, I was not parented. So you just let them be. Of course, you can sense there's something wrong with that, right? Because parenting is a responsibility. Let them do what they want. And the list is endless. Friends, these models in and of themselves cannot save our children. Our children's greatest need is ultimately salvation. They are souls needing Christ, and they too must be born again. I think parenting in our day has become even messier with the social media. What are we supposed to do when the reels fill up with picture-perfect families and their ever-smiling kids and, you know, every scroll brings another opinion sold as truth, leaving us guilty and ashamed? Think about it. What is currently shaping and informing how you're parenting? The Word of God or the algorithms? And many times you and I have made the mistake of confusing what is viral on the internet with what is vital. As a pastor, I've even seen some parents who now are quaking in fear. They fear social media and the internet and the technology more than they even fear God. Because they have been told that's the monster that will wipe out and take out your children, you know. Someone observed this, and I truly agree with them. They observed that the greatest news is that neither television nor movies or the internet nor the entire mass media, social media or AI or the soon-to-come AGI is the most powerful force in this world today. They are not the most powerful force in the world. God is the most powerful force in the world. God has been, God is, and God will continue to be the most powerful force in this world. Someone say amen. And you know what that means, my fellow parents? That the fear of this God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and that includes wisdom for parenting. In a book I read a while ago, titled Parenting Beyond Your Capacity, the authors argue that unlike the world or the social media reels, God is not holding a perfect picture, a picture of perfect parents for me. And that was freeing. God is not into that business. They powerfully went ahead to argue that the Bible almost deliberately does not offer you and I exceptional parents. In fact, I love this because they said if most of the parents we find in the scriptures had shown up in our churches today, we would suggest that they go for therapy. Do you agree? Think about the great characters in the Bible. Tell me which one was the perfect parent. Think about Noah, David, Rebecca, Judah. Who? I know what you're saying in your heart right now. No, Pastor, before you go ahead of yourself, you know there's the parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, right? Now, those two left their child in church for 3 days. They have forgotten their baby. Try that today. You see, parenting became a different reality when I learned that instead of stressing to become the perfect parent, God desires that I humble myself before Him and let Him use me in my family as a canvas for His redemptive story. Instead of dwelling on fleeting images of perfect parents, I must focus on God's call to shepherd my children. I must trust Him, He who gave me those children. The one, the only one who is always involved in the business of transformation, in the business of redemption and restoration. From the text that we read, this theme of redemption, it's interesting that it's the final echo of the Old Testament. The Old Testament closes with Malachi chapter 4, with a promise, God's promise of restoring family relationship by turning the hearts of their children, their fathers to their children. And guess what, God's people? Like we've read, that promise did not even anticipate perfect parents, but a restored people. And that's what God wants to do. If we let Him use you and me, again, as a canvas to write redemptive story. That's what we find in the scriptures. If we had time, more parents, I would have us look at the opening page of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1,
And there see parents that God included in the genealogy of our only Redeemer and Restorer, our promised Messiah, our only Savior, Jesus. And you know there we will find people of very suspicious characters. There is Tamar, there is Rahab, there is Uriah's wife, lest we forget, Bathsheba, Abraham, Jacob, Judah, Solomon, Manasseh. Kwanza that one. The most evil king is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You know what? Because parenting too is a place for God to show his mercy to you and me. If Manasseh, the guy who burnt his own son as a sacrifice on fire, can be restored by the Lord, you and I can trust the Lord and we can become great parents. You see, parents, we go to the New Testament, it's amazing. Because in Luke, what we read again in 1:17, we see this promise of restoring God's people being fulfilled in John the Baptist, who again is coming as promised in the New Testament, in the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of their parents to their children and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Isn't that the beautiful truth to know that? Parents, God's plan has never been on achieving an impossible parental ideal, but on the divine power of restoration that prepares a people for Christ. That is the ultimate comfort for me and our highest calling. So parents, here is an essential truth as we come to the conclusion. You know what? God is still at work, desiring to use you and me who are parents right now. You and I are broken people, not to paint a picture perfect, a perfect picture of parents for others to follow. No, our eyes should be on Christ. God is interested in writing a story of redemption. And if God can use the profoundly flawed David, Abraham, and Jacob and the rest, he surely can use you and me. So as we conclude again, I ask you, what is your plan for raising godly children? What do you hope and pray your children will be like in 20 years? And where will we get the godly wisdom we need in these times of competing opinions and ideas? Allow me to quote something as we finish here. Someone by the name Kevin Steed said that most people, most parents, can tell you their career goals. They can articulate their long-term retirement plans. But most parents will look at you like you just came out of a rat's hole if you ask them about their plan for raising godly children. Truth be told, in our day, if you don't have a plan for your kids, everyone and everything has a plan for them, including the devil, the clubs, extracurricular activities, the malls, the relentless pull of holiday this, holiday that. My fellow parents, let's be honest. None of us gets this right all the time. Sometimes as parents, we lose patience. We get distracted. You know, we aim poorly. Which is why, precisely, our hope is not in being flawless parents. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. That's where our hope is. That's why I can rest assured that if I walk with the Lord, then I'll do just fine on my parenting journey. Oh, we must look up to Jesus Christ, the only true Son, the one who perfectly obeyed his Father. And he is our Savior who covers all our failures with his grace. So parents, this morning, I ask, will you trust the word? Will you look up to him who gave you that child for wisdom? Will you strive to walk closely with Jesus Christ? Will you? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us children as gifts, Lord. We ask that you teach us to steward them well. Father, give us wisdom to act daily in obedience to you.
courage to open your word above every other voice in our times, and the discipline to be fully present in our homes. Oh Lord Jesus, forgive us where we have fallen short. We thank you that you are a faithful Son. And we ask that by your Spirit you shape us, you shape our homes, and you steady our hands as we parent and use our efforts for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.